The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by ComEd. Pay your energy bills, check your energy usage, and get alerts with the ComEd app. Download today at comed.com/app for dependable information. ComEd, powering lives.
This is ESPN 1000, WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope you had a great weekend. Waddle's off today. I'm in here with Meller and Tyler, 312-332-3776. Talked a lot about Deshaun Watson. Dan Graziano will join us, who's covered this. It was also a Bears camp over the weekend. He'll be on in an hour from now. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, 2 hours from now, talking about being dome ready. Soldier Field, how's she going to pay for it? All that good stuff on the Bears. I've got trade chatter. I've got strong trade chatter coming from a big wig about our teams. It's not about the Cubs, at least this one. It's not about the White Sox, at least this one.
No, what, Sylvie? I was absent from the show for a little hiatus for a few months there. Do you still do NFL trade chatter?
I like trade chatter. I don't know why trade chatter ever went away.
Probably because I went away for a while.
That's true. We love having you back, too. So we have trade chatter in the National Football League involving our Bears. This would really lend credence into what Cap was reporting over the weekend. Ian Rappaport tweeted out 3 minutes ago, "The Bears have received calls and have held trade talks centered around offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins, sources tell me and Mike Garofolo. The former second-round pick has drawn interest based on his potential, a situation to watch." So here we are, Tevin Jenkins, who clearly, as soon as the new regime came in, fell out of favor. We were very excited for Tevin Jenkins, who was out of Oklahoma State, who at least was going to be a really nasty right tackle. The Bears tried to play him at left tackle right away. Soon as camp started, his back was bad. He had to have back surgery. He came back later in the year. The only real memorable moment from Tevin Jenkins was a penalty. And when he was
running to the defense of Justin Fields.
Yeah. And now he could be traded. Matt Eberflus was on with Carmen and Yurko last week, and he said he had not been practicing. Said he woke up with something.
Yeah, he woke up with something, so we'll see where it is.
Unless he woke up with, or the Bears woke up with a couple trade calls, and they're like, let's not get this guy on the field. We don't like him to begin with. Let's get what we can for him. I don't know if that's why he's not practicing. Did he practice today? Was there a report on Jenkins today, boys? They're keeping him out or not? But this is interesting. I heard Courtney this morning, too, with Cap, and then I'll play what Cap said this morning. But I heard Courtney this morning with Cap say that there have been, they have taken calls on Tevin Jenkins, which surprised me. I get if a guy falls out of favor, but still, if he's that young and he, a lot of people looked at him as a strong second round draft pick. Just still want to see if you could develop him. I mean, you'd be selling low, wouldn't you?
I mean, especially it's odd if he's actually healthy and can be out on the field. Sylvie, I would think you want to get bare minimum. You want to get a third round pick back for him, don't you? If you're Bears,
you think a year after surgery and not really playing and falling out of favor that you could get a third for him?
No. I don't know if they can get a third. I'm saying if you're the Bears, though, and you're looking at this asset, a guy who was a second round pick and who a lot of people were kind of surprised that he fell that far because they thought there was some talent there. All the things you pointed out, that nastiness, the ability to, at the very minimum, be a right tackle and potentially have the possibility of moving to the left side. It would surprise me that they're so quick to give up on him.
Maybe the Falcons have a third round pick.
You know it. Read my mind, yeah. Tyler. Good one.
This is worth noting, though. So Matt Eberflus said that Thomas Graham will be sidelined for some time with a hamstring issue. But remember, his absence and Tevin Jenkins' absence have both kind of been in tandem. So Thomas Graham, he's giving an update and a timeline on him, but not giving one on Tevin Jenkins, who missed his fourth straight practice today.
Okay, yeah, so he woke up with something.
We'll
see where it is.
Yeah, well, we'll see where the trade talks go. This, I would think, would be a conditional draft pick, right? I mean, wouldn't you, if you're Ryan Poles, if you're trading him to a team, and if he starts X amount of games, you get a fourth-round pick. You know, if it's a minimum six-round pick, if he plays X amount of games, it's four. If he starts this many games, it's a third. But I just can't imagine, Meller, that a year after back surgery and falling out of favor that you could get a third. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe there will be a team.
Maybe it's a pipe dream, but like, it does feel, though, you're so quick. He did it. You're right. He had the surgery, but theoretically, he did play at the end of the season. He should be recovered, right? He did participate in offseason minicamp. I feel like if they trade him for less than a fourth, like, that just goes to show they have no interest in what he's bringing to the table.
They are stamping him with a bust label right away, and they're thinking whatever we can get for him is a bonus because we don't want him on our football team.
Because maybe they're like, he won't make this football team.
But do you know what is odd is they're very into, Ryan Poles has shown you that he's into reclamation projects. They're starting at the bottom. They're willing to give guys from other teams who have fallen out of favor, whether it's with Bill Belichick and N'Keal Harry, they're giving him a second chance. They're giving a lot of receivers second chances, but they're not willing to give someone within their own building a second chance.
Especially when it should be a fresh start for Tevin Jenkins.
Right, because it is, even though it is the Bears, it was still a different front office, much like N'Keal Harry and some of the other guys are fell out of favor in their situation. I just think it's so early. Like, I'd like to see him play. I'd like to see him play in the preseason. I'd like to see let's wait till the pads get on.
The one thing, I'll say, whenever I look at a team, and I always prefer, if you're going, like you said, a reclamation project, bet on the player who has talents, and maybe you can unearth something, right? The pedigree oftentimes, if anything, sometimes there's a chance it will pay off down the road and they need a different, you know, environment to figure it out. But Tevin Jenkins really hasn't had an opportunity to show what he's capable of this point.
If you're going to give him a chance to fail, this is the year to let him fail. When you're not having any sort of expectations, you're not in some sort of winning window, let him show you that he is a bust this year and then move on after that.
Maybe. Right, right. Unless there are some teams willing to give up a pretty good draft pick now, and you've like just said, he's not our style, he's not our personality, he doesn't fit what we're doing. But if you're selling low, then I'd still prefer to see what you can get out of him and coach and develop him.
And because he would have to be awful, because if you're only going to get a fifth or a sixth round pick, he could be awful this year on the field, not even get on the field. You could still get something close to that next year.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Garofalo retweeted Ian Rappaport's tweet, and he says, as is often the case, a new regime is much more willing to part with the draft pick they didn't make. We'll see what happens with the Bears and Tevin Jenkins. But again, they signed a lot of guys that they didn't make the pick for who have failed in other places for other regimes. But it seems like they're pretty quick that they want to move on Tevin Jenkins. Here's Cap this morning. Cap was on his YouTube page, sleeveless, I'm sure, and was shouting about Tevin Jenkins. And he was on to something, it appears, because this was him then this morning on Cap and Jay Hood about Tevin Jenkins and the Bears.
The issues going on with the Bears and Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins is a wildly immature player. He is a guy who, I talked to Olin Krutz, he said that's the most talented lineman that they have, talent-wise. But there's so much more that it takes to be a starter and an impact player in the National Football League. So what I'm hearing is that it's really not a serious injury. Everybody's banged up, but serious injury? No. This is more disconnect between him and Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, and him and the coaching staff as a whole, and he's struggling to assimilate himself into the new team structure. That's a problem. It's a problem on both sides. Yes, he needs to grow up, get his job done, and utilize all those skills the good Lord gave him. You have 13 different people in player relations and player development.
Yes.
That is your department to figure out how you reach this guy. He was a second-round pick for a reason. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who scouts in the league, who I talk to all the time, he said, dude, there were 31 other teams that would have taken him in the second round. 31 others. You guys need to figure it out. Your line's not very good. You got that type of ability. It's on him to grow up, and it's on them to figure the hell out how we unlock that kid. You can't just say, well, he's not our guy, we're out.
It appears that they're open to it. Unless there are these stories about doing stuff behind closed doors, or who knows what. What has he done to alienate the coaching staff? This was Mike Gundy. I alluded to this on Friday. I'm reading the quotes from Mike Gundy from a page from Oklahoma State, people who cover Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy tells this story. OSU coach Mike Gundy was having a conversation with tackle Tevin Jenkins. Quote, I was serious but somewhat joking with him in the weight room where there were a bunch of guys working out. And I said, you know, Tevin, can you name one person in this weight room that's worth $40 million? He looks at me like I'm trying to give him a haircut or something. And he says, no. And I say, you, if you decide to work really hard. He decided to say, you know what? I'm going to do just that. That's the kind of talent he has. If he can just get his mind focused on it, that's what I want to do. That's the level that he can get to. So obviously he was hinting to Tevin Jenkins that, look, you got all this talent in the world. Don't waste it. Grow up a little bit. And he was very good at Oklahoma State. And what Cap is saying, I do agree with, and you know me, I'll be the first to call it with Cap. Like, okay, well, let's find a way. He is young. He is uncharacteristically talented and super strong. And you have a deficiency in offensive line talent. Like, maybe try to find a way to reach him before discarding him after not even a week of training camp.
No, that's why the timeline does not add up for me. If you're going to trade him, it needs to be for, again, I feel like a third round really has to be the starting point for the Bears to consider to offload him, because what you just pointed out there, Mike Gundy told him back in college, if he gets his mind right. And again, this year, I don't know what they think they have here, but all they have is a blank canvas, and go right ahead and let the guys figure it out.
How old is Jenkins? I got to look that up here because I was looking at the Mike Gundy thing. Because remember, they're one of their top picks this year. Their third pick this year was 25. He's a 25-year-old. So he's younger than Velas, who was great, by the way. I heard him on Peggy and Dion. You should download that interview. It was fantastic. He is a smart kid. And he's super mature, and maybe that's what Tevin's like. Oh, but he's young, and you could still, I would think, if you believe in your coaching staff, reach him. This is more from Mike Gundy. This was all said in 2020. He says, Tevin's an interesting young man. He doesn't even know how good he is. He doesn't know how much he's worth. If you want to call it as it is, he's uncharacteristically strong. I watched him in the weight room this summer. I think he hit 225 like 35 times. They weren't even counting. He was just doing it. He has tremendous feet. He's got good leverage. He's highly intelligent. His work ethic is getting better this year. So, again, he's not perfect. We know he had back surgery. We know, for whatever reason, him and the coaches haven't seen the eye to eye. I feel like unless you're going to be wild with some sort of a draft pick, which I can't imagine you are, I'd like to see the coaching staff do what they're paid to do, and that's develop and coach a young kid when you're in development mode. You're in rebuild mode.
Doesn't it really say something, too, that Larry Borum's given a true chance to get this right tackle spot? And Tevin Jenkins, a higher-rated pick, he should be the guy that should be, not an incumbent, but like a guy that should be given a bigger set of eyeballs to be that right tackle. But it seems like Larry Borum hasn't solidified it, but it seems like
maybe
he's
works.
Yeah.
You know, like Borum may work. Borum may be doing what the coaches say. Maybe Jenkins isn't doing what the coaches are saying. I there could be a lot of warning signs along the way through the mini camps and different things. OTAs.
It just seems, though, for a team that really does lack talent on the offensive line.
Right.
The one guy who we could all point to and say if there's anything on the roster that you might be able to build around. Again, he may never amount to anything, But it just seems like way too early, and that's why when you see Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo say that the Bears are having conversations about him, it has to be a decent draft pick return. This can't be fifth, sixth, seventh rounder.
Yeah. Ryan Poles is could move swiftly on this, so we're keeping our eye on that. We have now less than 26 hours. The deadline's at 5 o'clock tomorrow during our show. The trade deadline for Major League Baseball. The Cubs are going to make multiple moves here. I would be shocked if they didn't trade Contreras and Happ. Those guys are Dave Robertson as well. Like, if those three aren't moved, they traded Efros today to the Yankees for a starting pitcher in AAA. They made some of their minor moves, but they're the guys who the teams want. Givens, there's been a rumor with Givens and the White Sox.
Traded Dixon Machado over the weekend.
That's right.
Right to the Giants.
That's right. They did them a favor, I read. Is they were so short on shortstops. And then they took a flyer on
Dixon. Zach McKinstry.
Yeah.
That the Cubs got back.
Well, that was a different. Didn't they make a trade with the Dodgers? I mean, Dodgers.
Chris Martin, yeah.
You're right. I apologize.
Martin, and then they traded with the Giants as well.
Correct. Yes. Machado. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my trades confused.
Yeah. A lot of multiple, like, different things they're doing, but still not the main course, and a lot hinges on the Padres, I guess, with the Padres being in on Soto. And then if they don't get Soto, or maybe if they still do, they could want Contreras and Happ.
Padres landed Josh Hader today
from
the Brewers.
Wow, yep. That's a great get.
Without giving up some of their notable prospects that would be in a potential Juan Soto trade.
That would be how about that arm coming out of the Sox bullpen?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And we'll see what the Sox are doing. I mean, this weird article coming out of the blue that they were in, and they have had serious conversations about Ohtani. But the Angels now are not going to trade Ohtani. Do you really believe that? See what the White Sox do, but I would think it's all things bullpen, that they're looking at their bullpen. Chris in San Francisco, I promised. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, brother. Good afternoon. Good show.
Thank you.
We came up from Los Angeles to watch the Dodgers flush these Giants down the toilet. In the meantime, I looked at the Cubs, and I'm so embarrassed for baseball. How can you, Cubs fan, allow this team to play the baseball that they're playing? I know the White Sox fans burn disco records. The Cubs fans should be at the Wrigley Field knocking on the door. You guys look like crap. And I'll give you Max Muncy and a bag of potato chips. Please take him off our hands.
Now, wait, you're a Dodgers fan? I mean, Max Muncy's how old now?
You can have him. Just 31. Get him off our team. You guys, Rodon struck out 10 Cubs yesterday. You guys were swinging at air. Who's the hitting coach?
Well, they're not very talented. I mean,
how can you fans allow that to happen?
Well, look, that's
Cubs fans who know baseball.
Yeah.
Santo is turning over his grave.
I should have told Tom Ricketts. Yeah, you're right. I should have told Tom Ricketts to spend, and he would have listened to me.
You drink beer and you eat pizza. You guys are numb. Wake up and get this damn team out of the league and put something on the field that's respectable. I'm upset.
Chris, the Cubs, by the way, I'm pissed at Ricketts, and I'm pissed at Jed and Theo for we were just talking about the Bears developing and drafting. They've stopped doing that, and that's why they're in this position as well. But wait a minute. Hold on now, Chris, with your beer drinking and pizza-eating crap. Your Dodgers have the same. This is why Dodger fans and Giants fans are always fighting in the parking lot, because you don't relent. You got to chill out for second here. You fight all
we're
the time.
We're not fighting.
You guys are, give me
you
a break.
Been to L.A.?
Yeah, I've been to L.A. I've been to L.A. plenty of times.
All right. Now, were you a lover or a fighter when you got here?
I'm always a lover. I whine.
Okay.
Listen to me, Chris. Listen to me here.
Go ahead.
The Dodgers have exact same amount of World Series titles as my Cubs do in the last decade, for as good as you guys have been. And that was the year of COVID. in the shortened season. So, I mean, look, my Cubs suck right now. I'm jealous that you guys still have the farm system to continue to trade for guys like Mookie Betts and great players year in and year out, and you're going to do it again. You have a chance to win this year. I would trade with you every day of the week for your owner and your president right now. But that being said, Chris, if you're going to come on the Chicago airwaves and start polluting it with the pizza and beer stuff, again, it's not like your Dodgers have won multiple World Series championships in this era.
But we don't stand back and let our team disgrace the game of baseball like you guys are doing right now. Take Max Muncy and I'll call it a draw.
No, I'm not taking Max Muncy off your hands. This has been the most random call I think I've ever taken on the show right now, Chris.
I got to push you to the wall, man. I got to challenge you.
What made you decide today? You're in San Francisco. You're a Dodgers fan. You're there to watch the Dodgers and the Giants play. What made you decide today? The Dodgers aren't even a threat. I mean, the Giants aren't even a threat to you guys. They're a 500 team. What made you decide today to call Chicago Sports Radio and bitch and moan about the Cubs?
Because I watched your team play the Giants over the weekend, and I could not believe what I was seeing. You guys stunk up the field. It reflects on your fan base.
No,
you
agree or disagree? It has nothing to do with the fan base. The fan base didn't draft into the...
You stink up the field. You have to raise hell. Oh, you guys are soft.
Look, if you're going to go with this dumb stereotypes, like the Dodger fans, front runners, complete West Coast jokes, know nothing about sports, know nothing jokes. If you want to go down the stereotypical way, yes, show up in the third inning, go traffic was really bad, leaving by the eighth inning. Don't get me that Chicago fans have anything to do with what the Chicago Cubs are fielding now.
Have you seen the Cubs?
No, I haven't seen the Cubs. Show me where
the
Cubs are.
You haven't seen the Cubs because they stink. Goodbye.
I mean, he wasn't even worth arguing with. What was that?
What's wrong with eating pizza and drinking beer?
There's nothing.
You guys are a disgrace to the city of Chicago, you Cubs fans. You make me sick.
Can you imagine that he's got nothing better to do than call him? The Cubs do suck. The fan base is pissed. I'm pissed at multiple layers at the Cubs. I'm mad at Jed. I'm still mad at Theo. I love Theo. They gave me the best era of Cubs baseball. They failed to do their job from a draft and develop standpoint from about 2016 through maybe the last year. And we still don't know what they're... And it's why they weren't able to replace any of the players and why they've had to go through their second rebuild in 10 years. The Dodgers don't do that. Look, I'm envious of what the Dodgers do. I'm envious of what the Rams do. They go over the luxury tax. They go over the salary cap. They spend. I wish the Bulls would do that. I want all of Chicago teams. I want the White Sox to do that for my White Sox fan friends. Go over the top. Spend more money like the Rams. When you're in the window and the Rams know they could win the Super Bowl every year and the Dodgers know they can win the World Series every year, pay the piper later and do everything to win now. I'm good with that. But the Dodgers have not... They haven't failed at developing, and they've continued to do it, and it's why they still have powder to trade for other players. That being said, it's not on the fans, because there are many fans like me who are pissed at Tom Ricketts, pissed at Jed Hoyer, pissed at Theo Epstein, and pissed at the whole situation the Cubs are in. This is a rebuilding team right now. They're like the Oakland A's. The Chicago Cubs shouldn't have to do that.
Maybe if you weren't so soft in the Cubs all the time, they'd be better than 19 games under 500 there, Sylvie. And they wouldn't be a national embarrassment in 10 days when they're squaring off with the Reds for the what's the game in Iowa?
Field of Dreams game. How do you like that, Chris? Where are your Dodgers? We got the Field of Dreams game. Fox doesn't think your Dodgers can play. You know who they want for Iowa? They want the Reds and the Cubs. Tell me about soft. That's hardcore stuff right there. Wait till Joey Votto gets his eyes on Chris Morrell. You just wait, Chris. 312-332-3776. That sort of took me aback. I'm surprised by that whole thing. I'm not defending the Cubs, but I'm going to defend the fan base. The fan base is pissed. Are you pissed? 312-332-3776. Get to more of your calls in Waddle's World next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
I want to take some calls. A lot of people have called it since the last caller. I didn't even view him, though, as like a threatening. Like, he really didn't. It was just silliness.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing like that he said that really honestly made me mad.
It was illogical. It was hard to follow, I think, right?
It was.
What's on Waddle's mind? We don't know.
Waddle is not here. He will be back tomorrow. Well, the show's going to be at Navy Pier for the Jim Irsay Collection. We'll be at Navy Pier starting at noon. Carmen and Yurko, followed by Waddle and Sylvie, will be located outside the Aon Ballroom. The ESPN Chicago Nissan Titan Street Team will be on site. It's brought to you by the Jim Irsay Collection. Is Irsay scheduled for the show?
Not that I've heard yet.
Okay.
Let me check with someone on that.
Okay.
By the way, Waddle's World brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC.
A lot going on. Frankie Montas was just traded from Oakland to the Yankees. There's been a lot of talk about that happening, the Yankees landing Montas. They have landed him earlier in the afternoon, Josh Hader, to the Padres.
Yes.
Am I missing anyone else before I reset to some of the Sox news and
stuff? Sounds like it. Trey Mancini has been dealt from the Orioles to the Astros.
Was his last at bat the inside the park home run? Wasn't that kind of the thought that, or one of the last at bats he would have in that Orioles uniform?
Yes.
Last at bat at Camden Yards.
And it was a feel good story, obviously, fighting his way back from cancer to get on the field and play last season.
Jesse had a good story with him about all that. Then, a couple of other things locally then. Mike Garofolo, along with Ian Rappaport, are reporting that the Bears are taking calls on Tevin Jenkins. So there's a lot there with Jenkins. I don't know if they will actually make the deal. Courtney was talking about that earlier today. Cap reported over the weekend that he had heard this was not just an injury thing about waking up with something, that he has not meshed with the coaching staff, that they don't like his maturity, and they could be in already trade mode with Tevin Jenkins. We do have the White Sox update on Luis Robert. Luis Robert is not in the lineup today. Jesse had mentioned he saw him in the clubhouse. It's such a weird story because he was having the dizziness, and no one has said what he was battling. But then he was good enough to go on a rehab assignment, and he played Thursday and then was in the lineup on Friday for Charlotte. And when I found out about this, I thought Waddle was joking with me. They said he was pulled from the lineup because he had a cold. Then he will return to Chicago, and there's been no clarification yet. Maybe they give one today. Now, is he returning to Chicago to meet with more doctors?
White Sox did say they would have an update today, so that's the hope. Jesse's, you know, over there, so hopefully he'll give us the latest when we do get word. But they did say on Saturday that they were going to provide an update.
We're waiting for Cubs deals. They made a trade with Scott Efros today, who went to the Yankees as well. The Yankees have been very active, as they always are, and they get a Triple-A starter in return.
Big market team that's... they don't need no rebuilds, Sylvie. They just...
they reset that one year in 16, right? Wasn't that the year they sort of just reset?
That was the Aroldis Chapman trade. And think about this, too. It is August 1st, and there's more Bears trade buzz than White Sox trade buzz.
Now, but you do believe, as someone who has hosted White Sox Weekly and someone who has done the White Sox pre and post and has done play-by-play this year, that the White Sox will make at least one move, right?
Yeah, I mean, they'll make one, or probably a handful of moves, but, like, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a move that will excite White Sox fans enough to say, not just win the division, right? Because winning the division, I don't think really means anything in the grand scheme of things. You're expecting this team to go out and win a playoff series or two.
Are you now?
Like, well, I'm not saying you're, but heading into, like,
heading into this year, you were.
You wanted some damage done in the playoffs. That was the next step.
And with Dylan Cease pitching the way he's pitching, to start a series now with Dylan Cease, it's something. He's, I mean, he continues to gain more Cy Young support. What he's done here since May is incredible.
Dropped his ERA below 2 for the season. Now it's really only, if he can continue to pitch anywhere near this level, it's really only Justin Verlander that stands in his way for the AL Cy Young.
Get Giolito right. See what Lynn can do.
Kopech, when he's going well.
Yeah, look, you still have Mankies. Like, again, they should win this division.
Johnny Cueto, another gem on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't know how he doesn't make the playoff rotation. Like, Johnny Cueto is pushing his way into the playoff rotation if they get there.
I love, talking about the playoff rotation at 500, right?
Who's going to beat this team, Sylvie?
You know me, how I feel.
Not just playoff rotation. He's probably, like, the number two, the way he's pitched.
Yeah, we were joking upstairs that in this week you had two, like, horrible losses. The Colorado loss was ridiculous.
Yes.
And the pickoff at third base, the La Russa stuff, where was the Joe Kelly thing? Yeah, was that in Colorado too?
Yes, that was on the heels of the...
That was that one day then, and then the loss the next day.
To the A's, awful.
And then the A's loss, and Tim Anderson is bumping an umpire again.
I did the pre and post of Saturday's game, Sylvie, for the Sox game. And let me tell you, 6 innings into that game, it felt like we were getting ready to bury the White Sox season. Because they had just lost to the Rockies. They had lost to the A's. They were in a 2-game losing streak. And they couldn't score any runs on Saturday night against the A's.
But just like in true Sox fashion this year, like, if you're going to take the bat, you know they're never going to get 2 down. Like, they're just fair. Like, they've just been that 500 team.
It's the perfect example of a team that just the entire season, water has found its level. Every single time there's something good, something bad's there to offset. And every time there's something bad, you rebound and win. You end up taking 2 out of 3 after a disastrous first game.
I know what it is, Sylvie. I'm going to make a reference that you're going to love, and Tyler's going to have no idea what I'm talking about. They're even Steven.
Yeah, right. The Seinfeld thing?
Yep.
Whenever he finds money, he always ends up getting a bill. That happens in everyday life, for sure. Oh, Julio in Park Ridge wanted to weigh in on our L.A. caller. It was such a weird call out of the blue. A Dodger fan who was in San Francisco is pissed that the Cubs looked awful in San Francisco, which we all know they're awful. And he was blaming the fan base for that. Julio, what's on your mind?
Buenas tardes, amigos. I'm a Sox fan, man, but I love the way you held your composure for it. I was just upset that, I mean, I felt a little bit insulted that he just said pizza and beer. It's like, he's not just insulting Cubs fans, in my opinion. He's insulting all Chicago fans.
I think it's giving us a compliment. What's wrong with being a pizza and beer society here? What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Just like, well, is that all you know us for? I'm like, hey, man, we got a lot of tradition here in Chicago. You should come by and see what else we have to offer, because apparently all you see is deep dish pizza and beer.
Yeah, yeah.
I really wanted to compliment you because, man, I was getting a little irritated with the call. Like, why don't they just hang up on him? But I love the way you handle it. You held your composure, and I want to give you an applause for that.
He didn't even make me, like, it wasn't even to the point where he even made me that mad. He was just reading stereotypes, silly stereotypes. And that's why I went to the you show up late, you leave early LA thing. There are a lot of great LA fans. The way they follow that Laker team, they talk about the Lakers like the Bears, but to think that the Cubs, I know Cubs fans. I haven't been to a game all year. Why do you think that is? I'm not happy. This isn't what it's supposed to be. I know a lot of Cubs fans who are pissed at this whole thing. And again, we haven't, as a fan base, we may not have hit rock bottom. Like, how far is this going to go? And then there's a guy outside, a city worker, CTA worker, who's outside with his Cubs hat. Waddle would like, he's having a cig. Waddle would love that. He's nodding his head at me. He's going, you're right. I don't know one happy Cubs fan. I don't know. Now, if Jed makes some good moves, but even if he does rebuild this well again and in 3 years they're good, if they did their jobs the right way as a big city team, they never should have had to go through a second rebuild in 10 years. That's a joke.
It's really surprising, too, a year after the trade deadline they had last season, I kind of felt like that was like rock bottom in terms of the rebuild, right? Like, You trade Rizzo, Baez, Chris Bryant. You move, and it felt like, just from a neutral observer, that was okay. You realized you couldn't win anymore with them, so you were going to move on to the new chapter. But I didn't anticipate this trade deadline. Am I wrong? Do you feel like they're in a worse position now than they were last year? Because it still feels like you have the Major League roster has nothing tangible on it, really.
Well, they found Horner this year, Horner, yes, established himself this year.
I'll give you that. But you're also,
A couple
Contreras
of pitchers
is going to be gone, right?
Like Jesse said, there's no face of the rebuild yet.
Correct.
And it may be Pete Crow Armstrong. He mentioned Brennan Davis has been hurt all year. Some of these other guys who are in single A are really raking.
Maybe that's why, though, because your best prospect in Brennan Davis has had back surgery. And so, there's nothing. Yes, Pete Crow Armstrong, fine, but you still need to see him.
Braylon Marquez has been hurt. Hasn't he been hurt also?
Yeah, it feels like the minor league system right now is still.
And that's why they still have to continue to replenish.
They do.
Now, to me, if you replenish another year here, and then you go out and then again buy, not senselessly, but I've told you, Trey Turner, I've circled him. I like him. I you could sell me on any of those guys: Correa, Bogarts, Trey Turner. Pick one. I'm fine. Go sign a pitcher. You know,
you're right. Those are all good ideas. And you need to supplement with some real talent at the major league level. I do wonder, though, is Jed Hoyer and the Cubs' job going to be harder this offseason recruiting some players like that? Because
I think they go wherever the money is. I really
is
do.
Tom Ricketts going to be willing to be the highest payer in those situations?
I don't know.
You know,
that's what we don't know. I don't know that. I go out and I re-sign Contreras. I get as much as I can for him now. I bring back Contreras. He wants to be here. I go out and sign a shortstop. I have Nico play second base for me. You've got Seiya Suzuki. And then I'm in the market for some other smart buys in pitching. And then, in another year when Hayward's off the books, get another year with him, and then he's up, more salary comes off the books,
and then
you keep buying.
And then you break the bank and be ready for Shohei. That's what you should do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mike is in Beverly. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I thank you for taking my phone call. This Bears, I think the thing we missing the most is, and I was just talking to my cousin, shout out to Box Realty Group. I was just talking to my cousin, and the thing that pisses me off with the Bears is the organization is so damn toxic that it's affecting the players, and it just really pisses me off. And this is something I was trying to, talk to you guys about Friday. It's like so many Bears fans is just so done with this organization that the thought of, and I don't know if you heard of it, Sylvie, there's this little rumor going out that the Jacksonville Jaguars are maybe one of those teams that may be coming to Chicago. But everybody is now rooting for another team to come to the city. Like, we're so overdone with the Bears. And with this Tevin Jenkins thing, and I'm hearing you out on the radio, I like Tevin Jenkins. I really do. And I really believe that the guy has a lot of potential. Why will they just give this guy a chance? Like, for real. And stop with the nonsense.
There must be major red flags. Poles a former offensive lineman. I don't know. I don't. You bring up a lot of good points that they have every 4 or 5 years, they've changed out their coaches and front office guys. And no matter who the guy is that they bring in, nothing really changes. And I'm hoping it changes here with Poles and with Eberflus. But can you really give them the benefit of the doubt? Because really, we've always talked about that it starts at the top. I still will give Poles, though, as we do. I'll get back and not going to dig in either way. I'm going to let Poles work and see what he builds next year and into this year and see what he's got. It's not off to a roaring start, that's for sure. There are a lot of things, and even him signing the defensive tackle, Ogunjobi, that was a weird one to begin with. 312-332-3776. But I don't know if I'm going to go crazy over Tevin Jenkins, because there's a lot here that I don't know, that people are saying that they don't like the way he has not been coachable inside the building. All right, so Dan Graziano is going to join us. We'll ask him what he thinks about. He was just in the building, too, to see Bears over the weekend about the Tevin Jenkins thing, about Deshaun Watson getting the six-game suspension. He's been in on that. A little over an hour, Lori Lightfoot is going to join us to talk about her mission to try to keep the Bears. And what if the Bears do leave, like the caller was just saying? Does she believe Chicago really has a chance to get a second NFL team? There's so much going on today. Major League Baseball trade deadline is approaching 25 hours away. There could be breaking news at any minute. Stick with us.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Let's play a game. Woman arrested on fentanyl charges tells the deputy that she gets a discount on the drug.
Is fentanyl?
This is fentanyl, yep. A 24-year-old woman has been arrested on fentanyl trafficking charges after driving with her vehicle with no license plate. According to investigators, on Friday afternoon, while working patrol, Deputy Griffith conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle without a license plate. During a search of the vehicle, Deputy Griffith located a black backpack that contained 32 grams of fentanyl in four plastic bags, as well as a coffee filter containing a white powder, a paper containing white powder, a hypodermic syringe, and another digital scale.
I think this is somewhere in the Jacksonville area. This is trafficking going on. Guys wearing a Jaguars jersey and trafficking fentanyl.
Nope. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to represent Ohio here, because I think fentanyl is a hot. Ohio is a hotbed for fentanyl. So give me Ohio.
This took place in Crescent City, Florida.
All right. It's a hotbed for fentanyl everywhere.
Congratulations to you, Sylvie. Nice job.
Starting the week off right. That's for sure. So Graziano's going to join us here shortly. Waddle's out today. He'll be back tomorrow. We're at Navy Pier tomorrow. Also, don't forget, Football Fest is right around the corner. And it's free. It's a brand new event, and it is free. Adam Schefter is going to be at the event. Field Yates is also going to be there. It's August 20th. So we're less than 3 weeks away. I can't believe it's August 1st. The summer just always goes by quickly. I love that football season is just about here. I hate that the summer is continuing to wind down. My kids go back to school, I want to say, mid-August. It's their last week of camp. Saturday, August 20th, Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. Doors open at 10. It is free, but you got to register to be allowed in. So register right now with you and your friends at ESPNFootballFest.com. And you'll join all of us here at ESPN Chicago. And like I said, Field Yates, Adam Schefter, maybe another ad or two here along the way. And it's going to be super interactive. It's going to be gambling, fantasy football, Bears, NFL, everything you want in football. They've got a sports book there. They've got all the games as well. Play some game, blackjack, play a little craps, whatever's on your mind. It's why that has been my favorite venue for Football Fest, is because there are so many different things that you can do. And everyone says we're never in Northwest Indiana. So here we go. Football Fest. Sign up today. You know what I did too the other day, Miller? I don't advertise it often. I'm on Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like $25 is my Cameo.
Proceeds go to a good cause.
And then, so I don't pocket a cent of it. Every cent that I get that they send to me from Cameo goes to cancer related charities. My favorites are the V Foundation, Cancer Wellness Center of Northbrook, and Immerman Angels. And there are many others too. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I donate to the most, and I sort of rotate it. I think this is a good idea too, and more people have come to me with it, where I have I have done the fantasy draft order for them.
Ah, there you go. So you pull, right? You just pull the order for them?
So, right. So you request me on and you give me the list of people in your league, and then I will, instead of doing some dumb randomizer that's not a lot of fun, I do like a lottery, like an Adam Silver lottery. And then if,
not the so David Stern rigged lottery.
Well, it could be rigged.
And then, like, see, I don't know if Sylvie's pulling your draft order on Cameo. I don't know. Whoever's ponying up, I'm not sure I feel like this is legit here.
But
like,
I don't know who's who.
If there's a Mason in the league, probably going to go first. Probably going to get the first overall pick.
You think so? Because I would like the name? That's silly. Now, what I've done is they've given me a scouting report on each person in the league, and I've sort of gone, I've worked blue. And then I rip each member.
That's good. I like that.
So if you want to do that, request me, and I'll pick your draft order.
There you go. It goes for fantasy good football. Yes.
All right. Let's talk to Dan Graziano coming up. We've got the suspension for Deshaun Watson. It's very controversial. We'll see if he's surprised by it and what the league will do now. Are there calls being made by the Bears on Tevin Jenkins? That was being reported by the NFL Network. And Graziano also got a first look at the Bears as he was in Lake Forest over the weekend. It's all coming up next.